Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issue is the name of the show you're listening to here on AFR. I'm Tim with Fred and Ray, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us.
Good morning and good afternoon, everybody.
Good morning, Brother Steve. By the way, we mentioned this last hour, but to the big, of course, there's several news stories that are big nationally, but this hurricane that's out in the Gulf of Mexico that's going to make landfall tonight.
Yeah.
That looks like it's going to be very damaging to North Florida and Georgia. We have a lot of listeners in Georgia.
Yes.
We have a radio station in Jacksonville. Now, we have listeners who listen to the app, who listen on the Gulf Coast there in Florida, but we don't have any radio stations. But we do in South Georgia. We have several, Fred.
Yep.
Probably going to be off the air because this storm is going to, you said it's going to pack hurricane winds, even like 100, 200 miles inland, perhaps?
Inland. They're really worried about Tallahassee and the damage that's going to be done.
Valdosta.
There. Yes. Yeah. It's going to be serious.
Yeah.
It really is. So, and it could take, when you talk about power losses, which would affect our radio stations,
right,
for sure, they're talking not just days, weeks.
Yeah.
If this, right now they're saying category 3, but it could be up to a category 4 by the time it reaches the shores there tonight around 8 o'clock.
I've been watching a live cam from, I get paid to do that, if you're wondering. I get paid to watch a live cam. This morning I've had a live cam on my computer from St. George Island.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, if you look at map of Florida, it's right down there by what do you call it, Ray?
Apalachicola.
There, only a southerner could do that. Yeah, right down there by the cola place. But it's nearby there. It kind of sticks out a little bit into the, so, but it's, you could just, it's fast. The reason I'm watching it, you can just see it. It's progressively, every half hour, it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
The churning of the it's about to come up on this. It's this beach bar that's got a live cam. It'll probably be off by the time I get up there. I keep waiting for it just to blink off. Mm. I'm just saying, you're talking about sustained winds of 130.
Yes.
Yeah. And a 20-foot surge.
Have you ever held your hand out?
Yeah.
Going down the highway at 40? Yeah. Imagine tripling that and having that sustained for what, an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Something like that?
Yeah.
As the hurricane passes?
Yeah. I noticed the networks, you know, normally, you know, very brave people to report on these things, but one of the Fox reporters said he was moving away from that area in the corner there.
The bend.
He was moving over to Perry, which is kind of in that north, one of those northern inland communities in Florida. That's as close as they're going to get to this for now.
Just because of the wall of water that's coming
because
in?
Because of the water and the winds.
Yeah, the winds.
Keep those people safe.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. You talk about Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel. I don't think Jim Cantore will be anywhere close to where this thing is going to hit.
Yeah.
Steve?
It looks like a monster. Someone said it's the biggest hurricane that they've ever seen in the Gulf. And how big it is, not the force of the winds or maybe even the storm surge, but this is just a monster across. It's hundreds and hundreds of miles across. So.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Steve, what's your first story?
All right. Well, for a long time, we have been talking about critical race theory, and a lot of people are a little confused about what that means. A lot of people saying, in fact, the Southern Baptist took a vote a couple of years ago about whether they should use critical race theory as a way to inform themselves. It's not the worldview that they wanted to take, and it didn't pass, but they wanted to use it to inform their theological discussions. But we are now hearing a little bit of a different story. I want to play you something from a guy named Brian Lozinski. Brian Leszczynski was appointed by Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, who's now the vice presidential candidate for the Democrats, to the Minnesota Department of Education. His job was to help write the state's framework for ethnic studies. And he says, people talk about CRT in schools, about being, you know, this is a way to look at race and our stories and everything. He says, no, that is not it at all. So I want you to hear what he has to say. This is Cut 13.
The first tenet of critical race theory is that the United States as constructed is irreversibly racist. So if the nation state as constructed is irreversibly racist, then it must be done with. It must be overthrown, right? And so we can't be like, oh no, critical race theory is just about telling our stories and diverse. It's not about that. It's about overthrow. It's insurgent. You can't be a critical race theorist and be pro-US, okay? It is an anti-state theory that says the United States needs to be deconstructed, period.
Let me ask you this. Okay, number one, who was that we were hearing again?
A guy named Brian Leszczynski.
And what is his position?
He is part of the Minnesota Department of Education. His job is to help implement the framework for the new ethnic studies standards. He puts standards about ethnic studies into the
curriculum. Third question, who was he appointed by?
He was appointed by Tim Walz.
The vice president candidate.
Vice presidential candidate
for Harris.
With Harris.
And fourth, is there any way we're taking his comments out of context? Is he doing is he explaining something in an objective analysis, analytical way, or is he advocating for what he just said?
Both and, I suppose. This was in a blog.
Sounds like he believes in it.
Yeah, no, he does. This was in a podcast that he was talking about, and the what he said prior to where I started recording. Was, you know, sometimes you hear in we're also lying to ourselves when people say things like, oh, we use critical race theory in schools. We don't use critical race theory in schools. This is his words before the clip started. And then the first tenet of critical race theory is that the United States has constructed is irreversibly racist. So,
well, okay. So, Ray, that is the teaching of the far left. And remember during the George Floyd riots that many of these people and groups said, okay, America is systemically racist. You remember this? As if there's no recovering from it. It's fundamentally racist and it must be overthrown. So, and that's what this fellow
said. Exactly what he was saying.
Right. Look, keyword there's got to be irreversibly. If something is irreversibly racist, then it's not going to be reformed.
Right.
You got to tear it down.
Right.
And start all over again, which, in fact, is what the proponents of critical race theory actually want.
Yes.
To deconstruct the American nation and reconstruct it along their far left-leaning values.
Now, it isn't a shock that somebody like this fellow would promote that, because that's on college campuses all over America, that ideology, that CRT, you know, we got to fight the white man system, Christian, white nationalists, all this colonialism, all this stuff, you know, 1619 or whatever they point back to when slaves were, you know, all this stuff. We got to basically get rid of America and replace it with a socialist, communist, yep, paradise, basically, is what these folks are for. Here's a takeaway, because that's on college campuses and has been for a while. We saw what happened during the okay, so here's the takeaway. This guy you just heard say this, he was appointed by the man who stands to be the next vice president of the United States.
Yes.
Which means Walz agrees with him.
One would assume.
I think Walz is the same. Now, he's pretty frank, Walz is, but I kind of doubt he's going to say it like that guy said it. But he's going to say, well, Harris, she believes in, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and all social justice and all that. They're They don't hide it very well. So, but I don't know if they would say it exactly like he said. He said basically we need a revolution.
I tell you what, if I was J.D. Vance,
yep,
I would be taking those quotes.
Yeah,
and I would be making an ad out of them.
Yeah,
and I would, you know, I hope there are some news agencies that are going to get in contact with the Tim Walz campaign and saying, here's the guy that you appointed
over education in the state of Minnesota.
And he is calling for the overthrow
yeah.
of the government of the United yeah. States.
And you wonder why people are taking their kids out of schools when you hear about this being forced down their throats?
Well, would it be safe to say he's calling for insurrection?
Yeah, that's what he is calling. Maybe not storming the Capitol, but he's calling about insurrection against the American form of government.
He doesn't specify how to do it, but it's yeah. got to be taken out.
What didn't he say? Overthrow it?
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah. But he didn't say how. You're right.
Yeah, but
anyway, next story.
All right, hey, but before I go to the next story, happy birthday, Ray.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Somebody just asked me what I always post food pictures on my Facebook of what I'm eating for my birthday, and Marlene asked me this morning, did I want a chocolate pie or a chocolate cake? And so she's making me a chocolate meringue pie with about 6 inches of meringue yeah. on top. So I'm already a happy man.
There you go. There you go. So I know you guys have been talking a little bit about Kamala Harris and her word salads and everything. I want to play you one more Kamala Harris clip because I think it's instructive to talk about her plan or lack of a plan. When she's asked for specifics, she never can offer much.
No.
And this is her talk. She was at a speech at a economic forum the other day, and this is her talking about her philosophy of governance. This is how she wants to govern the country. And just listen to this, and then let's talk about what that really means. Cut 12.
As president, I will be grounded in my fundamental values of fairness, dignity, and opportunity. And I promise you I will be pragmatic in my approach. I will engage in what Franklin Roosevelt called bold, persistent experimentation.
Now, if your guiding philosophy of how you're going to run the country is experimentation, that doesn't inspire confidence in me anyway. You?
Yeah, well, what does that even mean, Steve?
Well, I don't know. When I do an experiment, I might be you talk about people, not me, but you talk about people
experimenting. She didn't know. Sorry, Steve, interrupted you. Go ahead.
You talk about people experimenting with drugs. Let's see what this does. Who knows? This might work.
She didn't know what that means. Somebody wrote that for her, and she said, hey, this sounds smart.
It doesn't.
It really no, it doesn't.
Huh? Yeah. All right, let's listen to this. Does this not sound at least – I'm not talking about her delivery. I'm talking about the conglomerate of words she puts together. Makes you think, huh? We're dealing with a 140 IQ right here. Go ahead and play this.
As president, I will be grounded in my yeah. fundamental values of fairness, dignity, and opportunity.
Yeah.
And I promise you I will be pragmatic in my approach. I will engage in what Franklin Roosevelt called bold, persistent experimentation.
That's what people don't – that's what she doesn't know what she's saying. Bold experiment – what did she say?
Persistent experimentation.
Yeah, I would say, what is that exactly? She would yeah. say. She would say, well, it's a –
In terms of –
Yeah, holistically looking at the whole thing.
Unburdened by what has been.
I would say, anyway, it's just, all right. I think we beat up on Harris enough today. I think.
Have we?
Yeah, we have.
All right.
Hey, she's vice president.
Yeah.
You know, she was attorney general of the state of California. She was United States senator. You know, I'm not talking about her politics, but she has accomplished some things in her. Huh?
By appointment. You don't look very... By appointment.
No, she got elected in California.
Oh, I'm talking
statewide.
In recent years, she was chosen by Joe Biden to be his running mate.
Right, she was the chosen one.
Yeah, and she was. Yeah, by the way, she was chosen Biden to be her, his successor.
Why, Fred?
Because why?
Yeah, why was she chosen to be the VP, Fred?
Why was she chosen to be the VP? Well, she checked a lot of boxes.
Okay.
Okay.
Box checker.
Well yes. said.
No, that's what he
checked the boxes.
He was right. Going to pick a woman of color,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't matter. That was his goal. It was a what do you call that when you don't go on credentials or qualifications or things like that? You just go on
a diversity hire.
A diversity hire. She was a diversity hire.
See, when you say that, it's racist.
Why?
When Joe Biden says it, that's what he's looking for. I mean, he's looking for a woman of color. Oh, you just hired her because she was a woman of color. Oh, how racist can you be? Well
she was a United States Senator. I mean, so he didn't just pick her out of, you know, Las Vegas at somewhere and say, hey, you're a woman of color. Come join my ticket. I mean, she did have some standing in the Democrat Party, so... But anyway, next story, Steve.
All right. As soon as Donald Trump said he was running for the White House again, we saw the
going to run in 2028.
No. As soon as he announced for 2024.
Oh. Okay.
We saw the Democrats craft up, invent 4 criminal cases against him to hamper his run. We saw the FBI. We have seen the FBI target pro-lifers. We've seen them target school board moms. In other words, the weaponization of the government is kind of taken now for granted. It's beyond discussion. It has been weaponized against Donald Trump and conservatives and MAGA people. There was a hearing. Republicans, when they got to the House, set up a committee on the weaponization of government. They wanted to talk about this. It's a banana republic thing if you jail or try to jail your political opponents, and that's not what we're about. Republicans wanted to talk about it, so they formed a committee. And, of course, the Democrats on any committee, they have chairs on there too, and there's a lady named Stacey Plaskett, Plaskett. She is a delegate from the Virgin Islands. Now, the Virgin Islands, she doesn't get to vote, but she does have she can say, and she works on committees and such. She gets to vote on the committees. She doesn't get to vote as a member of the House. But she said the quiet part out loud here recently at one of these, at this committee of the weaponization of government. You're going to hear her say, the first thing you're going to hear her say is why she believes that the weaponization committee was formed in the first place. And basically, she says it's to put everybody to sleep so that they can do away with the Department of Justice, because the Department of Justice has been doing stellar work going after bad, you know, the conservatives. And so you're going to hear her say that this committee wants to put America to sleep so they don't notice that they're doing away with the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice has a very solid mandate, and it is to go after political enemies, according to Ms. Plaskett. Let's listen to Cut 14.
What is the point of this subcommittee? Because it's necessary for the public and the media to hear, to try, and provide cover for the eradication of the Department of Justice and the FBI. We are having these hearings so that you become immune. You become inured to the notion of the removal of the FBI and DOJ, so that those agencies are no longer there to serve as a check against white nationalism, great replacement theorists, Christian nationalists, white fragility, fascists, and the twice impeached, convicted felon, former president, and would-be dictator, Donald Trump.
That's their job. They got to go after Trump and the MAGA people. That's
so. So who was this? This is from Virgin Islands, lady?
She's a delegate from the Virgin Islands.
And she's speaking. And her thing is, she's saying, that we got to keep the department, that the Republicans want to get rid of the Department of Justice.
And the FBI.
So they can protect these people she mentioned at the end of that.
Yeah, now the Republicans have never said anything about getting rid of the FBI. They have said a lot about depoliticizing the FBI and the DOJ. In other words, get it back to just doing its job.
But I also found it interesting. She believes the FBI and the Justice Department is to go after Christian nationalists.
Yes.
Is that what she said, right?
That's her words.
You know what? That's such a boogeyman.
Mm.
She's talking about us.
Yes.
She's talking about people like us. That's who she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What was this? She Christian nationalist. What else did she say? White night? Did she say?
White fragility. She said that. Whatever that means.
Does that sound like a salad or something? I have a white.
Here's what she wanted to go against. White nationalism.
Okay.
Great replacement theorists. Christian nationalists. White fragility fascists. And Donald Trump.
I just tell you, you put all those groups together. Now, Donald Trump's just one person, but I'm going to just tell you there's 0.4% of the American public are represented by the group she just talked about. Unless you're just saying people who are conservative Christians, maybe who happen to be white, fall into the category she's talking about, Fred.
Yeah. I mean, and this, I got thinking, I'm hearing a little bit of Hillary Clinton here.
Basket of deplorables?
Yeah, I'm hearing a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And these MAGA Republicans.
Let me ask you this, because I've thought about this. I'm a nationalist.
Yeah.
I mean, if being a nationalist, if you define that as you're pro-American and you want the best for your country, you know what I'm saying? And America first, so to speak. Is that?
And what is it about Christianity that she doesn't want?
What did she say? Christian nationalist? Too?
Christian nationalist.
Yes. What? Well, which?
She. Here's what these people would tell you. Okay. Because I've heard them before. They would tell you that people like us want to impose submersion baptism on everybody in America. And we want to change the laws and make everybody follow the Ten Commandments, or they get put in stockades. That's the kind of handmaid's tale. That's the image that these people want to project to the general public about people like us, which couldn't be further from the truth.
That's right.
But it works a lot of times because you scare people into thinking, well, those religious nuts,
right wing zealots.
Yeah, right. They just want to make us all be Christians. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, or else, and which is not true. You can't make people be Christians, by the way.
Right. Right.
We understand.
You got to come to Jesus on your own.
Right. Right. But it does work.
It's scare tactics. Propaganda.
Scare tactic. It's a scare tactic. All right, we got about a minute left here.
All right, hey, do you guys remember Robert Redfield? He was the former director of the CDC before Rachel Walensky. He was the guy at the beginning of the pandemic, right?
Yep.
He has now come out and endorsed Donald Trump and Kennedy. Basically, he's endorsing
Kennedy's not even running. Either.
Well, no, but he's endorsing Donald Trump because Donald Trump has embraced Robert Kennedy Jr. But this is the guy that was this head of the CDC. At the beginning of the pandemic, and now he's on Team Trump.
Is he the guy who has the looks like on Quaker Oats?
Yes,
box?
That's the one.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like Wilford Brimley, almost. Yes.
Yeah.
I've never understood the beard without the mustache. By men.
It's a look. It's a look. That's all we can say, right? Huh? It's a look.
Is it like a Quaker thing, or
they do that? But I don't know.
An Amish thing?
I don't know. I've seen that too. Wondered about it.
Yeah, I'm just going like, got a beard.
Yeah,
if where's you can your pull mustache? It off, good so for you. So you shave your mustache and leave your beard. I mean, listen, that sounds...
We're not being judgmental. No. Hey, if it works, it works, right?
I'm not supposed to judge.
That's right.
All right, we are out of time. Thank you for yours. We'll see you tomorrow.